Hi, boys and girls.
Hello there, everyone.
Well, Uncle Dan, are you all ready with your Bible story?
That I am, Aunt Sue. For those of you who like to look our stories up in the Bible, it's found in the book of Acts, chapters 6 and 7. I call it...
The First Christian Martyr.
Soon after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus of Nazareth, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews.
Fellow believers, just a minute. Now, please, listen to me. You claim that the Greek widows are being neglected in the daily distribution of assistance. Now, this is untrue. Such inequality is contrary to the spirit of our beliefs and organization. Satan has succeeded in arousing your suspicion. However, prompt and positive action is being taken to remove all future occasions for dissatisfaction and suspicion. A special meeting is being called to consider the possibility... This meeting has been called to consider a plan whereby our spiritual leaders can be relieved of the task of distributing to the poor and other time-consuming duties. Now, the time has come, brethren, when apostles should be free to carry forward the work of preaching the gospel. Well, therefore, look about you, choose 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint as deacons.
7 men as deacons, Peter said.
Good idea. Good.
And that, brethren, concludes the appointment of the 7 deacons with Stephen as head deacon. Stephen, as most of you know, speaks the Greek language and is familiar with the customs and manners of the Greeks.
Well, Stephen, my dear, it certainly is an honor to be appointed head deacon.
Yes, and it's a great responsibility. The future of Christianity could well rest on how faithfully, or unfaithfully, we deacons discharge our duties.
What are your duties?
Oh, we're to give careful attention to all individual needs and complaints. Mainly, we're to render financial help, insofar as furthering the interests of the church and its members go.
You won't get to preach.
Oh, the apostles are the preachers and teachers, and they are our spiritual advisors.
The deacons were ordained. Then did the word of God increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly.
Good news, dear. I've been invited to preach in the Grecian synagogue.
Oh, Stephen, that is good news, and yet... I wish you wouldn't.
Wouldn't preach? Why not?
You'll end up like John the Baptist did. And Jesus.
What do you mean?
Dead. Oh, Stephen, you know the priests and rulers persecute everyone who teaches belief in Jesus.
I must keep the faith, regardless of the dangers to my own life. Jesus commanded, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." I must obey. Anyway... Who's better qualified than I to understand and minister to the Grecians?
I know. Just the same, I wish you wouldn't.
You going with me? Hear me preach?
You're my husband, and it's my duty to stand by your side. Anyway, I've never heard you preach. I'd like to know the kind of a preacher my husband is.
And so, fellow believers, it is with complete confidence that I say unto you... Jesus of Nazareth is the long-looked-for Messiah. Jesus is resurrected. He did ascend into heaven. He does stand at the right hand of God as our intercessor. He will come again and take unto himself all who have been faithful and true. Stand firm and true.
Well, Stephen, you're a good preacher. I'm proud of you.
Well, dear, I have an invitation to preach in another synagogue.
When?
This Sabbath. I plead with you, friends. Uphold the truth of the gospel. Let not your hearts be troubled. Speak boldly, nothing daunting. for the creator of all things, he who came to this earth as a babe in the manger, he who walked among us and is now ascended into the heavens, has promised to be with you and protect you. So be brave. Speak boldly. All that you do, all that you say, all that you are.
You're an eloquent preacher, Stephen.
Oh, you mistake eloquence for enthusiasm. I am enthusiastic. I believe what I say.
That's quite obvious. The manner in which you speak, the look in your eyes, and... Oh, by the way, what did that rabbi want?
Oh, he wants to engage me in public debate.
Oh, no, no.
It's an opportunity to spread the gospel.
Oh, Stephen, I'm afraid this may be the end for you.
Oh, you worry too much, dear.
You're getting involved with the priests and the rulers, as did Jesus, John the Baptist, and... Oh. I haven't seen you study yet, Stephen. And the debate is this evening.
Study? Well, what would I study? I don't even know the arguments they're going to present.
Oh, you won't be able to stand against them. They'll defeat you.
Oh, I don't think so, dear. I'm placing my confidence in a promise Jesus made when he was here on earth. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist.
Just who are going to be your debating opponents?
I haven't the slightest idea. Surely the best talkers they have. But perhaps the high priest himself, who knows?
With all due respect to you as high priest, I fear that you underestimate Stephen.
Oh.
He'll be a worthy opponent for the best debaters we can muster.
Nonsense. The local rabbi can take care of Stephen.
Well, what did I tell you? Stephen made the local rabbi look silly.
Yes, 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 I know. The next time I'm going to send our most learned rabbis and doctors of law.
There is a next time?
Yes, tonight. Our rabbis and doctors of law were defeated. Utterly defeated.
I told you Stephen was a worthy opponent.
Just who is this Stephen, anyway?
Oh, nobody. Just one of the deacons Peter appointed to help in the administration of his church and followers.
Well, he's causing trouble. People are flocking to hear him, and they believe what he says. Now think of it. The people believe Stephen in preference to us.
Yes, it's the same old story all over again. First, there was John the Baptist, then Jesus, Peter, and now Stephen.
There is one great difference. I'm going to see that an immediate end is put to Stephen before he has the chance to hurt our influence with the people.
I perceive that you are angry.
Yes, I am angry. And I'm going to have Stephen arrested and put to death immediately.
There is a law, you know, a Roman law that stipulates that we must obtain authority from Rome before we can put anyone to death.
Oh, there are several instances where we have taken the law into our own hands.
Only because we bribed Roman authorities to look the other way.
Well, and we'll bribe them again.
You're willing to spend money to stop Stephen?
Any amount.
In that case, why not arrest Stephen?
Yes, yes. Scribe, instruct the captain of the guards to find Stephen and arrest him immediately.
What's going to be the charge against him?
Oh, I don't know. Almost anything. Insurrection, insubordination, inciting a riot, almost anything.
I suggest blasphemy. If you can make it stick, the people will turn against Stephen. If there's one thing the people will not tolerate, it's blasphemous words against the temple and the law.
Yes, yes. But Stephen isn't guilty of blasphemy.
Well, you need help, I see that. Someone to handle the details. And I know just the man for you. A young man. He's on our side, there's no doubt of that. His name is Saul. Saul of Tarsus.
Oh, yes, I know about him. He is on our side. But just how is he supposed to help me put an end to Stephen?
Well, you need witnesses to prove that Stephen is a blasphemer.
Witnesses?
You'll have to hire them, of course. Their testimony will be false, but the people will believe it, and there'll be your chance to pass the death sentence on Stephen. Now, why don't you send for Saul immediately?
I'll summon him right away.
They've arrested you, Stephen? You're going to jail.
I'll be back here in several days. I feel sure of it.
Oh, you'll never be back. It's like I said. You're involved with the priests and the rulers. You oppose their beliefs and defy their authority. No. No, you won't be back.
Sent for me, Your Grace?
Yes, yes, Saul of Tarsus. Sit down. I have something I wish to talk to you about.
Yes, Your Grace?
You've heard about Stephen?
The one Peter appointed as chief deacon? Yes, I have heard about him. Very intelligent and able man.
He is an enemy of our religious teachings.
I know. You want him eliminated?
Precisely.
He's a powerful man, very popular with the masses.
Stephen is a blasphemer.
You want my help? Well, be honest with me, sir. You hate Stephen. You fear him. He preaches delusive and dangerous doctrines. But you know he is not guilty of blasphemy.
Yes, you're very wise, Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And I do want your help.
Now we're getting somewhere. I take it that you want me to arrange certain details. Details that will result in Stephen being condemned to die.
Not necessarily. My main object is to convince the people that Stephen preaches untruths. Doctrines that have no basis in fact. Doctrines completely contrary to the truths as handed down by Moses.
That's going to be easy. Now, when do you wish the trial?
As soon as you can prepare the prosecution.
Well, give me several days. About four.
4 days?
You're curious as to how I shall best, Stephen?
To say the least.
Well, it's very simple. I'll have present in court learned and influential people from surrounding countries to refute the arguments of Stephen's preaching. You're from Samaria?
Yes, sir.
I understand that you're an expert on Hebrew history and law.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. I've spent a lifetime studying and doing research. I consider myself somewhat of an authority.
You heard Stephen's testimony. He claims that Jesus of Nazareth is the long-looked-for Messiah.
An impossibility, sir. Had he been the Messiah, he would have set up his kingdom here on earth. All facts and figures refute the claims.
In his testimony, Stephen stated that the sacrificial services instigated by Moses have been done away with. This because the real lamb was slain on the cross, meaning Jesus.
Absurd, ridiculous. Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross, a criminal's death, a death of shame. The Son of God would never have permitted himself to die in shame and disgrace.
You further heard the prisoner state that the disciples of Jesus... position in Babylon?
I am the chief priest.
And your social position?
I am revered and respected by believers and non-believers alike.
You heard the testimony of the prisoner known as Stephen?
I did.
Tell the court and the people what you think of that part of his testimony referring to the reputed resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. I don't mean give your opinion. Give us the facts.
The guards at the tomb swear that the disciples came during the night and stole away the body of Jesus. I have made an extensive survey and find this to be true, in spite of what the disciples and others say. Further, it is not within the realm of reasonability to...
You are an expert on death and resurrection.
I am a physician. As such, I am acquainted with the processes of life and death.
The prisoner testified that Jesus of Nazareth was seen and talked to after he had died on the cross and was buried in Joseph's tomb. As a physician, what is your opinion of this?
Upon death, the body deteriorates. It decays and goes back to dust. Once dead, it can never be brought back to life. The resurrection of Jesus, who died on the cross, is a scientific impossibility.
That is all. You may step down. And now we are going to hear the testimony of the former high priest of Jerusalem. Your Grace, what is your age?
Old enough to be your grandfather.
The point in asking your age is this. You are venerable and respected. You are honored because of your age and wisdom, revered because of your knowledge of religious matters, and by reason of your long association with the temple and its services.
Yes, what is it you wish to know?
Is Jesus, or rather was Jesus, the long-looked-for Messiah?
He was not. Nowhere does the scripture indicate that the Messiah would live and die in disgrace and shame. The Messiah, when he comes, will save his people from further Roman indignities. He will bring mankind into an era of utopia, an era of painless life and untold beauty. Jesus died. He is no more. How can a dead person save mankind? No, Jesus was not the Messiah.
The trial continued. Saul of Tarsus placed the most learned men on the stand who were in opposition to Stephen. He himself eloquently summed up the issues. Then the chief priest called for a verdict.
You, the people, are the judges in this case. You have heard the prisoner testify in his own defense. You have heard our most respected and learned men refute the prisoner's testimony. There can be no doubt that Stephen is guilty as charged. All of you who say he is guilty of preaching false doctrines so indicate.
He's guilty! 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 Guilty!
Who of you say that Stephen is not guilty?
You never know how a mob is going to act.
What are we going to do now?
Release the prisoner.
I will not. Stephen must be made an example.
Why don't you just order his death?
I can't. There has to be some semblance of a trial of justice, or his death will accomplish nothing.
I hate Stephen just as much as you do. I hate all followers of Jesus. Only my hatred is not clouded by emotion. I plan and scheme. I shall live to see the day when there are no more of them, because of my efforts against them.
Well, I leave the fate of Stephen in your hands.
Convene the court again tomorrow. Today I shall hire witnesses to testify and prove that Stephen is a blasphemer.
Now, that's what we should have done in the first place.
It shall be done tomorrow.
Yes, yes, and the people will demand his death.
Esteemed judges, revered priests, and my fellow countrymen, since the trial of Stephen yesterday, new evidence has been discovered which shall prove, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he is guilty of blasphemous words against the temple and the law. The law itself declares that those guilty of blasphemy must be stoned until dead. Need I say more? I call the first witness. Your name?
Benjamin.
You know the prisoner?
Oh, well, now, Governor, I wouldn't say as how I'm on intimate terms with him. On the other hand, it could be said with some...
You have heard him preach.
Stephen? The prisoner? Oh, yes, many times.
Just what did he preach?
He blasphemed against the temple and the law.
Tell us exactly what he said.
Oh, well, Governor, I can't remember his exact words, but he said that Jesus of Nazareth is going to destroy this place. He said that Jesus shall change the customs and doctrines which Moses delivered to us.
You distinctly remember that Stephen preached the end of the Mosaic customs and beliefs and the beginning of new?
I do.
You say that Stephen openly advocated the destruction of all that we hold sacred and holy.
He did.
Stephen preached against the temple and temple services?
Definitely, sir.
You just testified that you heard Stephen claim that the ripping of the temple curtain at about the time Jesus died on the cross was a sign from heaven that the temple services should come to an end. Is this true?
That's exactly what Stephen preached, sir.
You believe the prisoner when he preached blasphemy against our temple and laws?
He seemed honest, sir.
Then you'd say that what he preaches is definitely dangerous to the well-being of our nation and to the sacredness of the temple and its services.
Absolutely, sir.
After a succession of paid witnesses gave their lying testimony, Stephen the defendant took the stand. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And the high priest said,
"You have heard the charge brought against you. Is this so?"
"Your grace, council members, brethren and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham and said to him, 'Depart from your land and from your kindred and go into the land which I will show you.' Then he departed and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into the land in which you are now living. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac. This Moses, whom they refused, this is the Moses who said to the Israelites, 'God will raise up for you a prophet from your brethren, as he raised me up.' This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness, with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai."
Stephen
and with
continued
our fathers,
his defense in a clear, thrilling voice.
Oracles to give
his words
to
held the assembly spellbound as he rehearsed the history
him,
of Israel and the interpretation
aside,
of spiritual things made
Egypt,
manifest through Jesus.
Aaron,
he connected Jesus
God
with
God
all the history
us,
of their nation.
As for this Moses who led us out from...
Then, momentarily, he hesitated. He suddenly realized that his was a losing appeal. Soon his voice would be still forever. Though in the very midst of his testimony, he broke away, concluding his defense.
"You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it."
"How dare you say such a thing?" "Stop it! Stop it! Do you hear, all of you? I'll handle this. If ever a man was guilty of blasphemy, it is this man. I condemn him to death by stoning. Seize him!"
The persecutors of Stephen were beside themselves with anger. In the cruel faces before him, Stephen read his fate. But he did not waver. For him, the fear of death was gone. For him, the enraged and excited mob had no terror. Then, all at once, the scene before Stephen seemed to fade away. In vision, he stood before the open gates of heaven, looking in. In words of triumph, he exclaimed,
"Behold, I see the heavens opened. Ah, heaven. Heaven is real."
"Heaven is a real place."
"I see a great white throne."
"It is the throne of God. Standing at the right hand of the Father is the Son of Man."
"It is a beautiful city."
"It is the New Jerusalem."
"There are 12 gates in the wall." "And the wall, it is high and enormous. And the gates, they appear to be great pearls."
"The gates are open, Stephen, to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified."
"To all?"
"To all who believe. Everyone."
"Oh, when may I inherit these things?"
"In the final judgment day, at the end of the world, and of sin and sorrow, sickness and death."
"It will be a wonderful day."
"Know this, Stephen. There shall in no wise enter into the city anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, through faith in him, shall enter into and forever enjoy the wonders of heaven. Blessed are they who do God's commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life."
May that day come soon. And may all people repent and be converted so that they too may enter the heavenly courts.
People, listen to me. This man must be put to death immediately. Take him, cast him outside the city, and there stone him until dead. All right, people, stone him. Stone Stephen the blasphemer.
Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them.
And when he had said this, Stephen fell asleep. Christendom's first martyr.